do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise or glorify your Father in heaven. So Christian Center, you are a light. You are the light of the world, speaking to our family. A church on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the community. In the same way, let your light shine before the community, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So Jesus is speaking to, let's move on. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. Acts 1, verse 4 to 8. So we are the light of the world. Would there be a small amen for that? That's what Jesus said. We're the light of the world. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Him in us, shining our light. And then he went on for 2 or 3 years of ministry. And then he went to the grave, as we sang this morning. The grave couldn't hold him. He rose from the dead. And for 40 days he ministered. He showed himself to his disciples. And then comes the time just before his ascension. And on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he talks about us going to be the light of the world. And in John's gospel, John testified towards Jesus that Jesus was the light of the world. Jesus comes along and he teaches that not only is he the light of the world, but we are the light of the world. He also teaches for a number of years, in John chapter 14 about he's departing, but don't let your hearts be troubled, disappointed. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live in you, and let's add, and you will be the light of the world. Amen? Simple plan, eh? So then, we'll break there for a commercial. I want 4 volunteers. Don't forget that thought. It's real simple. You're the light of the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I want 4 volunteers. You come up here. I'm not going to ask you to talk. I don't really want you thinking too hard. But I need 4 volunteers. 5. Would there be 5? It would be a great time. Some of you have been asked after your testimony, I'm wanting to get up here to share the light of Christ in you, stuff like that. Well, this is a great opportunity just to get used to be up at the front without, you don't have to say a word. Can I have 5? I see that hand. Come on up. Just 5 of you. Oh my goodness. Howard, way to go. Okay. Now, for those in the congregation, I don't want you catcalling, because some of you have seen this before. I don't want you saying a word. But I want you 5, maybe move over here, to form a circle. Form a circle. Wow. Incredible, eh? Okay, now, let me ask just the 5, no catcalling. Can you form this circle in any other way? Wow. Isn't that awesome? Or you could have 2 facing the middle, but there's my point. And you can sit down. Thanks. Job well done. Now, here's where I'm going. I had coffee with a fella that started coming to our church this week, shared his testimony. He heard mine. Lovely time. And one of the things I do whenever I meet with people that are coming to our church or even visiting is It's basically, there's three things we speak about around here, or three targets we shoot at, or three words from Christ that we try to follow. We keep it really simple. And one of them is a personal relationship with Christ. We preach John 15, abide in the vine. Everybody here is called to that personal relationship, one-on-one, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, Jesus taught in John chapter 15 about, he said, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you, love one another. And so we preach that. That's part of what Corey's talking about this morning. She loves to be involved with a family that cares and loves her family, and she loves others. And the third aspect that we preach here, does anybody know that one? We've been talking about it for 5 years, but John, it's John 20, 21, and Jesus said these words, come on, we can get it. As the Father has sent me, it's close to number two, but now as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. Does anybody remember me ever say anything about that? And so I thought I say it every week. But anyways, so there's three things. God and I are, he saved me, he's filled me, we're getting along well, we're working on the relationship and it's just going well. And then as the light is in me, I try to spread that light to you and you to me back and forth. But then the third component is we can't contain it here. We gotta shine it in our community. Yes? And so these people, they came up here and what did they do? They do what most Christians do. They do a holy huddle, which is good because we need the holy huddle. We need to encourage and build up one another. But we also got to realize that we got to turn to outside, and there's some people out there that don't know about the holy huddle. They don't know how much God loves him, and God tells us we're the light of the world. The only Bible that they'll read, most likely, is your life and mine. And when they read it, we want them to see. Can somebody say Jesus? Yeah, thank you. It's not about us, it's about him. We're vessels. We sang about it this morning. We're just vessels. It's not, I know we make it difficult, all of us do, but it's really not that difficult. It's surrender, yieldingness to Christ in me, and then let him flow out to them. Where did my notes go? My goodness. Okay, so we're on the same page here? Okay, so there's no guilt coming with this. It's Christ's command. He doesn't set us out off on our own. He fills us with the Spirit to just go out to be salt. And in today's lesson, light. Do what you can with what you have right where you're at. We're going to get to it in a minute. Do what you can with what you have right where you're at. And so we want to look this morning at six figures in the New Testament, six people in the New Testament that let the light of Christ shine in and through them to people around them. Some were with big crowds and some just one-on-one in small crowds. But the point being that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he does want to reach people in our community with his love and mercy and grace. And he really wants to use you and I. Can you imagine if Jesus lived in Crow's Nest Pass? There it is. I was praying somebody would say it. He does in you and I. He said it, not me. He actually said this. It's better that I go away. Because when Jesus was down here, it was one-on-one. When he was in Jerusalem, he wasn't in Nazareth. He was one place at a time. And he went up and poured his Spirit out down upon us. That now we walk the earth. We walk the Crow's Nest Pass. Being the light of Christ. We're not becoming Christ, don't get me wrong. He's deity, we're not. He died for the sins of the world, you won't. But most of his life as he walked the earth, he said, I'm sending you now, go and point them to me. Talk about me. And so here's the six individuals. The first one we'll talk about is Peter, and it's found in Acts chapter 2, 36, 38. Won't spend much time on the first two here, but they're well known. Peter, you know his story. It's the day of Pentecost. He's preached the gospel. And Here's what he says to the people after he tells them, or he points to them and preaches the gospel. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the forgiveness of your sins, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. What I want you to take away this morning is the first part. Therefore, here's Peter. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, whom you crucified. Here Peter is, 40 days after he denied the Lord three times. 40 days, and here, filled with the Spirit, he's standing up and being bold to these people. My point is this, Peter was a very controversial guy. That was his style, at least it was here, in presenting the gospel. God used this man to stand before them and get in their face, so to speak. 3,000 of them got saved that day. But his approach was this, he pointed the finger right at them. He said, you guys are the ones that crucified Christ. Chapter 4, chapter 5, when he was getting investigated for the miracles, he told the Sanhedrin, it was you guys that crucified Christ. And Peter was a very controversial or confrontational type evangelist for the Lord. Can you think of anybody in our midst or some that are like that here today? Don't yell out their names. Don't look at them. Don't. But it is a gift. When tempered with the Holy Spirit, it is a gift. Sometimes people need to be confronted and shown what's really going on. Because we love them so much, you want to grab them by the things. But as long as it's in love and your passion, they'll know that and see that. But God uses vessels like that. Not everybody. But God uses vessels like that. He did Peter. Let's move quickly on to the life of Paul. Paul was an intellect. Paul could be very confrontational, but also intellectual. In Acts chapter 17, verse 17, here's the Apostle Paul. He's planted churches. He's into Europe. He's planting churches, and he finds himself with some downtime in Athens. And so he went in the community square. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happen to be there. So he reasoned. Paul, that's good. So Paul reasoned with them. Paul's the one that God used to write the book of Romans through the Holy Spirit. Paul's the guy that, he's the one that persecuted the church. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He had it all together as a Jewish rabbi, as a leader. He was incredible. And yet all that learning and everything he used to persecute Christ's church. Christ got a hold of him on the Damascus Road, totally transformed his life, filled him with the Spirit, and then set him out to preach the gospel. And a lot of Paul's preaching and teaching was intellectual. He's the one that God used to write the book of Romans. And today God has people, we call them apologists. They defend the gospel. They use the mind that Christ has given them to defend the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are in Alpha. We're watching the Alpha series, and we see that, in a way, Nicky Gumbel. He comes from a line, his grandfather, his father, everybody was lawyers. And he was a lawyer. And then when he came to Christ, he started to investigate the claims of Christ. A friend became a Christian, and like many, he set out to disprove the gospel because he wanted to basically save his friend. Can you believe it? And so he set out to disprove the gospel, and the next thing you know, as he went through the gospel, he got to the end of it, and he said, this is true. And then there needed to be a response. He could reject Christ and his claims at that point, or he could have invited him in to be his Lord and Savior, and he did. But Nicky Gumbel's kind of an apologist type guy, defending the faith. Ravi Zachariah, defender of the faith. Go online, watch his, always going into universities, intellectually defending the claims of Christ. Has anybody read or seen The Case for Christ? What's the guy, the main character in that one, the one that wrote it? Lee Strobel. Highly recommend it. Seen the video online, Netflix? Awesome. Same story. His wife converts to Christ. He's a journalist, living in Chicago, writing for, I think, investigative and journalist. His wife gets saved. He goes, oh no, all the fun in life is gone now. But he set out to disprove the claims of Christ and the Bible. And as he set on that journey, he came to the end of it and realized, this is true. And he yielded his life to Christ and has written books for years. But God uses people like that. Not everybody. Not everybody is a bright mind that can argue the gospel in arenas like that. But God uses those as well. I had lunch with an individual this week. And he's an intellect. And it was interesting as we had coffee and I asked him, were you up to Banff where our ministers meet once a year for encouragement and edification in the faith and some teaching up in Banff, about 250 pastors. And he wasn't able to go. But he started to tell me what he was reading about it, and he said, basically, probably wouldn't enjoy it at all that much because they weren't, dealing with issues and arguing the gospel in a good way and sharing deeply about these things, and just doesn't appeal to me. Why? Because the guy, and then I know what it was all about. Something that I would love to go to where they're encouraging and edifying and just having a holy huddle for a day or two, eh? Love that, fellowship. But this guy, he wants to be going deeper in the things of Christ and then teaching them. And it was so funny is because I'm sitting there thinking, knowing what I'm preaching, and I'm looking at this guy thinking, he's a prime example. His passion and desire is to write, what do they call those? Commentaries. Write a commentary. I'm thinking, as my friend said to me, boy, aren't there enough commentaries out there already? But it's in his heart. It's in his passion. And God uses people like that to reach and minister to people like that. But most of us aren't Paul's and Peter's. So now we're coming into probably 90% of us that are here as followers of Christ. And where do we fit in? Because sometimes if you're like me and I sat in the pew years ago and I was thinking, well, I could never be like that. I don't even think like that. I can't be up here talking or I can't do this, that, and the other thing because I'm always looking at what Peter did and Paul did. But then as you read the Gospels, there's only 12 disciples or apostles, but there's so many of us. And yet Christ comes to us and he says, you're the light of the world, Al. Get out there. So let's have a look at three characters in the Bible in the New Testament. But before we do we have a video ready there, Kai? Yeah. I want you to listen to this song. Don't throw anything at me if you dislike it, but let me explain.
It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor at a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time. Live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. Special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way to bigger things. No, 'cause these simple moments change the world. So dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've got. Jesus, use you where you are.
dream small. Keep loving, keep serving, keep listening, keep learning, keep praying, keep hoping, keep seeking, keep searching. From rivers. So dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make giant fall. Yeah, find loaves and two fish, you feed them all. So dream small. Dream small.
Bit counterculture, isn't it? Don't throw anything at me, but that's where we really live. You know, so often I've preached in trying to encourage us to do something for God together and big, and as I'm preaching it, I think of the moms, the dads with 4 or 5 kids, and I think, my goodness, like, I know I've got the free time to do these things, but where would they get it? I've got a daughter with 6 kids, and so often when I preach, I think, how does this fit in her world? And, well, it does, because if you just think about the little things, the things that we take for granted, the daily taking care of our kids, the dads taking time, the moms ministering, that's where we live. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Billy Graham, well, he's not living now, but he's never going to visit the Crow's Nest Pass. He would never come here. But you and I live here. And it's in the small things of life that Christ shows up. Just a thought. So, anyways, we're going to look at the Bible, that some people that just ordinary people like you and I, and how did Christ work and live through them and use their personality and their style to reach other people. John chapter 9, just verse 25, the blind man. The blind man. What was the blind man's name? Guy doesn't even get a name, but Christ does. That's what our lives are all about. Blind man doesn't get a name, and look at this awesome miracle that Jesus does, and Jesus gets the honor and glory. Blind man, here he replied. This is the blind man after his eyes have been opened. Whether he is a sinner, speaking about Jesus or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. The blind man was healed by Jesus. Then at that beautiful miracle got him into difficulty with the religious people. He ended up getting called up on the carpet, questioned. They kept the question not just once. He gave his story. They questioned him again. Who's this Jesus? Was he this, that, or the other thing? And he just simply said, whether he is a sinner or not, because the Jewish religious leaders were saying this guy's a sinner because he broke the Sabbath, healed on the Sabbath. I don't know, but one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. Everybody in the room here that has accepted Christ, you have a testimony. That's all the guy's given him. I know it's a big miracle that's happened in his life, but it's his testimony. Nobody can deny that he was blind and now he sees. And nobody can deny your testimony. It doesn't have to be like his. But it's your testimony, your personal relationship with Christ and what he has done and continues to do in your life. And that's all that God requires, or pardon me, the beginning of what he requires as we share with the people that know us in our community. I was blind and now I see. Again, I think about Alpha, and we're watching the series, and there's two testimonies that stand out in my mind. One was this week, I believe, the fellow that went to jail, charged with attempted murder. While he's in the jail, he's actually stabs a guard. Just, you know, and he testifies about his life. It was just horrible. And then Alpha came to his jail. And he went through the Alpha program and he yielded to Christ. He realized the claims of Christ are true, and he called out to God. He just hated his life, and Christ came in, gave him a new start. And then incredibly, he was let out of jail, and that very jail where he tried to stab the guard invited him back in, of all the jails, to come in and minister to the men in the jail. A testimony, a dramatic testimony, coming out of that life. And then the thing that I like about it is he goes back, he gets a wife, he gets some kids. You know, it's the Lord blesses him with people to love and love him. And then he goes back to the very place he came from, because he knows how those people think and how they, and his testimony uses to point people to Christ. Powerful testimony. But then the other testimony that I remember from the Alpha series, the first three videos, is that little old lady. Do we have a few of them here today? Little old lady. And her testimony is this. She goes in to see the doctor, and I forget the whole story. Something tragic happened, what she was going through, and the doctors couldn't do anything for her. And yet she came through it, and the doctor that was ministering to her, they began to chat, and she shared, he asked her, well, what helped you? What got you through? And she just shared her testimony, her faith in God. And it impacted that doctor so much. And she asked him, she says, what about you, doctor? What do you believe about Christ? And that question impacted his life so much that he thought, here I am a scientist. And I investigate things and I come to conclusions. And here, I have written off Christ. I haven't even investigated. And yet I've come to the conclusions that he's just a myth or a nice man. And I call myself a scientist, he says. And that stirring led him on to investigate the claims. The Lord put people into his life to point him to Christ. And he gave his life to Christ and now shares his testimony. Incredible. One testimony where... incredible, charged with attempted murder. Whoa, he got those guys' attention. And yet another testimony of a little old grandmother and a simple trust in God that got her through her difficult life. Sharing that simple life with a doctor, and he comes to Christ. Incredible, eh? Most of us are like little old grandma. Little testimonies all along the way. God just wants us sowing seed to point to him, to glorify his name. The second person is the woman at the well. Anybody know her name? We know Peter and Paul, spotlight. We don't know the woman at the well. And yet, her story is, can you put it up there, John 4, 29 to 30? I'll give you a little background here. Chapter 4, Jesus is coming. He sits down by the well. The disciples go into the town. And he begins to talk to this woman, begins to shift the conversation from the physical to the spiritual. And eventually he says to her, go call your husband. And she says, I haven't got one. And Jesus says, that's true, you've had six. And the one you're living with now isn't your husband. And she goes, whoa, you must be a prophet. And they dialogue. But it's interesting enough, the woman he went to, he loves that woman so much. Brings up a bit of her past to point back to him, his love and his mercy and grace. But what does she do? The next thing you know, here she is. She goes into town and she says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. They must have had a fairly long conversation. Six husbands, everything I did. Wow, could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Jump to, I believe, 33 or 34, please, Sarah. So they come out. Verse 33 or 34? Oh, okay. Keep talking, in other words. Oh, it's Kyla. So anyway, she tells you, and they all come out. There's a dialogue between Jesus and his disciples. And then we switch back to they all come out. Go to verse 33. 34, probably. One more. The anticipation builds. One more. Here we go. And one more. Because he's dialoguing with his disciples. And one more. 37. And another one. 40, 30. I'm usually good with numbers. One more. Oh, here we go. Many of the Samaritans from that town, remember the ladies just told them, believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. That's where their faith began. But then it goes on. And it says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Keep going. And because of his words, many more became believers. And here, I like this one. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. The woman at the well, confronted by Jesus, talked about, and she immediately heads into town, begins to blah, blah, blah about this man at the well. And some are convinced just by her testimony. And then the others come back and they hear from themselves and they respond to Christ. Wow. The whole point is the woman and her testimony. The woman at the well. Pardon me. Sorry, not only your testimony, it really gets exciting. It's her testimony, but also the invitation. She invited the town. That's all she did. She invited the town to come see the one. And as they listen to Jesus, they respond as well. A little faith as they heard her testimony, that gets something stirring in the heart and then leads to the real person. And they respond to Christ. But my point is, she was a woman that just extended an invitation. Can we do that? As I think about Alpha, what an opportunity, because I talk to a lot of people that are scared to share their faith, or feel hindered in sharing their faith, or broaching the subject, opening it up to somebody. Somebody might get offended. Who am I to tell them? And yet here's an approach the Bible shares with us, the woman at the well. She simply said, come and see. We're doing Alpha now, and probably of the 50 people, probably I know of, don't know everybody, but personally, probably 35 or 40 I know have a relationship with Christ. And so, and that's good. They're coming to Alpha and getting some of the foundational truths and strengthening their own faith. But really, Alpha is designed for our community. And so in my heart now, as I'm thinking, great, all of us are going through it together, learning how to facilitate, learning the ins and outs and what to, and all of these things to prepare us for a great invitation to the community in September. Would there be an amen on that one? I just think is, wow, what a gift God's given us here. And all we have to do, what would we have to do? Just, Sherry, would you be interested in coming to? I've already asked probably 3 or 4 people that are ready to sign up in September. Al, it's not a good time right now for me, traveling, this, that, and the other thing. But in the fall, what an opportunity to sow seed between now and then. And then as we get the opportunity for Alpha, and all we have to do is invite. Invite. I've shared this story before, but I've got a friend, one of my closest friends, for 35 years. And all I did long, long time ago was invite him to, I think it was a Corrie Ten Boom or a Fanny Crosby. Not a thriller movie. He was in his 20s, and I invited him to a Corrie Ten Boom. I don't think it was a hiding place. I think it was Fanny Crosby. She wrote hundreds and hundreds of hymns. Dear to my heart and the hymns we were singing and her testimony, but to my buddy that worked in the plant, is this really going to grab his heart? But I just kept asking. And I remember hanging up the phone and I'm up and I say, hey, Dave, how would you like to come to a video at the church tonight? And he said, yes. He said, yes. Carrie Ann was standing there. She says, he's probably just trying to get you off his back. True story. And he came that night and he watched. I don't even know what it was all about. And 2 nights later, he came back to church and he bowed his head in the chair and said, Jesus, I need you. And all I did, what? Picked up the phone and just invited a friend. So many times the enemy gets in there and think, you don't want to say that. They'll get offended, blah, blah, blah. Don't listen to him. Just do what's in your heart. Pick up the phone and invite a friend. What we're inviting them to is just to get a glimpse of Christ and let the Spirit do the work in them as he did in each one of our hearts. The woman at the well. The last one is this one. This one's exciting. This one's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 27 to 31, I hope and believe. I wrote all my scriptures out, and I left them at home. That's why Sarah and Kyla don't have them. Luke chapter 5, verse 27 to 31. Same stories in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth, Levi or Matthew. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Isn't it exciting? Then Levi complained. What? Levi didn't complain. Levi threw a party. Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him, sinners. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples. "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have come." Ooh, one more. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Wow, what a story. And remember I said a few weeks ago that there's none righteous? So here you have a story where Jesus calls calls Matthew, "Follow me." And by the way, he didn't just walk up and walking by that day and say, "Hey, Matt, come on, follow me." He had spent time already with disciples before that great big call. They knew Jesus. They listened to his ministry. It was a gradual period of time. And so Matthew knew who he was, but now comes the big call. Time to leave the tax collecting and time to follow me full time, so to speak. And so Matthew does, and what does he do? He throws a bash, people. Are you with me there? Uh-oh, I'm not getting smiling faces. Brandy's with me. She knows the sick people need the doctor, don't you? And so he throws a party of all things. And who does he invite? Fellow heathen. Although he's not heathen now, he's a believer in Christ, he's following. But he invites those people that are dear to him, his friends, his fellow tax collectors. And who's complaining? The self-righteous Pharisees. They don't get it. They don't realize they need a savior as much as these others that they call sinners, tax collectors. You gotta realize tax collectors were despised, horribly despicable. I was going to say, no. Each one of you probably thought somebody in our society that you think is despicable, but they were the worst. So let it be that. Whoever you think is the worst in that group of people, that's who these tax collectors were. And here Jesus, Matthew throws a party, remember that, and Jesus comes in. He doesn't stay outside, he comes in and he enters the party. What's that to us? Two thoughts. One, throw a party. Generally, your parties probably, you're inviting your friends. But what about people outside your circle? Just a thought. I'm going to close with this thought. Talk to me later because a lot of people must misunderstand this. But in the last month, Karen and I have been chatting about marriage, wedding, celebrated a good anniversary, and she's got an incredible memory for details. And she said, started talking about the wedding day. I remember very little. She remembers everything. Details, dresses. What color were the bridesmaids' dresses? I don't know. Purple? Pink? I have no idea what the bridesmaid dresses are or what color and stuff. But incredibly enough, she brought up this point, and I don't even know what we're talking about, but it stuck with me. She said, "Don't you remember, Al, we had a 5 o'clock wedding on a Friday night, and then 7 o'clock was the dance and supper, the supper and dance and reception, that's it." And she said, "Don't you remember that after the supper, most of the Christians left?" And I said, "No, I didn't remember that." But it stuck with me. I thought, wow. Now, don't get me wrong here. Here's my point, is that Jesus went into these settings The background of my background, heavy drinkers on my side, moderate drinkers on those their side. And then all of a sudden we get saved. And 6 months later we're having this wedding and we're inviting everybody like, whoa, is this going to be a mixture? And she said that most of the Christians left. And so here's what I want to say. Don't get me wrong. Is that there are certain people that you have to ask God. We're not writing the laws. Somebody's having a wedding and you're invited, you got to go. We're not writing laws here. It's the Spirit in you. Where's he going to lead you? But think about this a while. Where I was situated, it was kind of that if you came to Christ, all of that other life was left behind. And so you didn't go to things like that. You didn't go, you didn't even dance. Like, I remember having a friend that he actually told me that the system he was in, that you couldn't dance, so he was struggling whether even to dance with his daughter at a grade 12 graduation. You know, that's how it can happen. We get into a system, we think that, but anyways, all I want to say is this, is ask the Lord, Spirit of God, what are you trying, do you want me there? But see, Jesus showed up and he went to the wedding. One wedding I read that he'd actually made wine for the guests and stuff like that. But he was there. Matthew threw a party and Jesus came there. Why did he go? He loved people. And you and I, the Spirit of God's in us. Remember, we're the light of the world? I think a lot of times he wants us just showing up. Showing up and being with people and being light and whichever way that'll show to people. But I guarantee if we just show up, he'll give us those opportunities to be with people, to love and care for them. So we'll close with that. If you've got any questions on that one, let me know later there, because I realized that, you know, I didn't have time to go deep on that one. But just be open to God using you. Don't make that list there, and I'm never going to do this, I'm never going to do that. Lord, I'm open to you to be led by your Spirit. I'm a new creation. The light's in me, and I really want to shine it off out to the people where you've placed us. So let's close. Father, thank you for your word today. And just pray, Lord, as we go this week, wherever you place us, Lord, that we would know that the Spirit of Christ lives in us. Day by day, the video we watch, Lord, the little things in life that we would realize that you want us sharing our lives with people in the small things, every day, one day at a time. Lord, we confess our need for you always. We need you so much, and we thank you, Lord, that you don't disappoint us. As we come to you, as we wait upon you, you will fill us day by day, that we might go out to our community and be salt and light. Bless this valley, Lord, we pray, with your light, with revelation, Lord, of who you are. And Father, we just thank you that you've invited us into that call that you have on people's lives. And you want to work through us. So we offer ourselves to your tasks, to your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. There's coffee on downstairs. If you're visiting with us this morning, we invite you to come down and share a coffee and a chat. And you're dismissed. God bless you. If you want prayer this morning, please come to the front row and we'll have a few gather around to have prayer for you.